What does a day in the life of a Silverlight designer look like? How does someone go from idea to a complete set of control skins? What are the tips? What are the tricks? Today, Karina Barber gives us a view into how she works and how she makes amazing looking control templates.
Hello, I'm Eric Mork.
And I'm Monica Mork. Welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. Sparkling Client is a podcast about Silverlight and other web client technologies. Here's how it works. You give us 15 minutes of your time, and we give you the tools to build amazing web clients. This week, we present an interview with Karina Barber. Eric, remind our listeners, who is Karina?
Karina is perhaps one of the premier Silverlight 2 designers out there. She has written this amazing set of control skins. And if you haven't seen them, go to shrinkster.com/ZOL. Even better, they're available for free. So that's pretty cool. She joins us today to talk about the design process with Silverlight. She's actually in the trenches doing this sort of work. And so it's just really interesting to hear from her how she makes it happen.
Great. Well, let's listen to the interview now.
Okay, what does your typical... You have an idea. You've been inspired by something out in the wild, whether that be a Red Bull can or MTV or what have you. Okay, what's your sort of next step?
So let me describe it a little bit. What I'll do after I have, you know, like you said, some sort of inspiration is I oftentimes, especially when creating new control skins or control designs, actually pretty much 100% of the time now, I go straight into Blend and I start sketching the visual appearance for, I'll typically start with button and then I'll use the design that I created there to drive the design for all subsequent controls or all of the other controls.
Oh, so you choose straightforward control like a button, get it done and sort of pick that as your flavor and then use that to guide your other control implementation?
I do. And the reason that I do that, and I think this is something that designers kind of do innately, is I want to make sure that all of the other, you need consistency visually and interactive wise in a control set that's going to be used throughout your application. So I do start with one control. Typically it is button or something simple along those lines, and then make sure all of the other controls kind of follow that model that I've defined the button. Of course, there are going to be differences and other elements that I'm going to have to consider, you know, for some of the different controls. But yeah, that is the approach that I take. And so I'll design the button very simply, just using straight on XAML, not worrying about controls or, you know, like thinking about a control or the interactions or anything like that. And then on that same design surface in Blend, I will design all of the other controls so that I can view them together as a family to make sure that they are consistent.
So when you say design the controls, you don't actually worry about templating or anything at that point, or are you actually doing this in a template?
No, I'm not worried. Most of the time, sometimes I will go straight to, you know, if I think I have a pretty clear picture in my mind of what it is that I want to do across the whole entire, you know, set of controls, I may go straight to templating. Most of the time, though, I'm not concerned with that at all. I am doing, and I am basically laying out, designing all controls on my design surface in Blend, and that's what I'm calling the heads-up display. All of my controls on the design surface. Again, with no concern for, you know, what's involved in actually creating a control. I want to make sure that visually this whole set of controls works holistically as a family. And then after that, then I do start, I mean, interactions for controls are obviously very important, just as important, you know, as the visual appearance, maybe even more important. So that is the next aspect of the design that I do move on to. And then I do actually start, you know, thinking about the control itself.
Yeah, and actually putting them into the templates.
So, so after defining all my controls, visual appearance, and the heads-up display, I would typically, again, start with button. And the great thing about Blend for the Beta 2 version or June, is it the June preview of Blend?
Yeah, June preview of Blend 2.5.
Yeah, I'm absolutely in love with this application now. I really am, and I'm not. It's not because I work at Microsoft. it really does make designing controls very, very easy, and it's actually kind of fun. I'll create another project essentially in Blend, and then I'll drop a button onto the design surface, and then I can go into the Object and Timeline tool window, select and choose to edit the template. It will create a new template or style for me to work with, and then it basically drops me right into the design for that control. I will typically go up to the state. There's a new state tool window in the June preview. I'll go up there and I'll just delete all of the state information for button. That would be mouse over, pressed, focused, and disabled. I'll delete all of the previous design or state information for those various states by selecting the item in the state tool window. Let's say I select mouse over, then I will go down to the object and timeline tool window, and there'll be a little red arrow next to the item that is modified for that particular state, and I'll expand it and delete that the internal red arrow to remove all of the state information. So I'll do that for all states. And then what I'll do is I'll go to the object and timeline tool window and delete all of the visual elements that define that button. And then I go over to my heads up display that contained my button design. And I will select the XAML in the object and timeline tool window for that button and copy and paste it directly into the actual button template that I
used. Yeah, so I hadn't thought about that, but that would work now, wouldn't it?
It does. It's awesome. It really is. It's very easy. It works great. It speeds up, you know, control template.
That gives you basically your base sort of look for the control. Here it is.
It does. Yep. So after I do have all of my visual elements in place, I'm going to copy and paste them from my design, you know, my heads up display into my actual control templating project. I will go in and design the states in the state tool window for that control. And that's pretty much the process.
Right. So you'll basically say, okay, when somebody hovers their mouse over, I want to change this color or this gradient or what have you.
So when I actually get into designing the states for button, there may be some experimentation that's taking place. And once I firm up on the interactions for that button, the states, and, you know, solidify on the approach that I'm going to take for those interactions, I will ensure that I carry through those interaction design aspects of button through to all of the other controls. So there's similarities. Like, for instance, of course, I want toggle button to behave very similar in most cases to the behavior you see in button on mouse over and pressed. And then I will try to bring some sort of consistency to the mouse over and pressed state that you might find on checkbox and radio button.
Oh, and that's a great point, right? Because those states aren't immediately available if you're just looking at the XAML without actually being conscious of copying over these states. You're not going to see, oh, well, the, you know, the mouse over is a little bit different for this control than for that other control.
Exactly.
Now, there's one thing I want to highlight here in looking at your latest skin. I see that you do this thing where you have resources, like you have brushes that you use throughout your control template. So another way to say that is you have here a base color brush, and then all of your templates actually refer to that brush to set their base sort of color.
Exactly.
And so that allows you to very easily then just change the color of that brush and then change the color of your entire control suite.
Exactly. And I love this approach because, I do think it's really important that when you have a control set that there is consistency throughout all of the control set elements. Mm. So this helps enforce that, but it also allows flexibility in that you can change things such as background color. I mean, you could even, you know, in hover color, you could even take it further and apply settings for, I don't know, border thickness, border brush color. So you can imagine the possibilities. But I think this just it provides for easy customizations, and as well as ensuring consistency which is really important.
Right. Yeah. So it does both of those things, which is good to point out. Now, I'm kind of curious. I mean, Silverlight's so new. I'm wondering, I mean, you may not be because you're at Microsoft, but I wonder if there's going to be sort of a market for these things. I wonder if people will be buying and selling skins or maybe there will be free and open source sites, kind of like with HTML and CSS, where you can download these skins.
I mean, I think the world's wide open to allow for this in the design aspect of Silverlight as well. And I hope it does happen. I think it will happen. I think, you know, like there may be sites where, you know, people are sharing, freely sharing skins and people can use them for any purpose that they want. They may offer, I could imagine cases where, you know, like, let's say design work is complicated. I mean, it needs to be, the people who are designers, they need to be paid for their work, obviously. I can imagine cases where, like, designers may actually have, like, teaser skins or templates available for people to use, and then maybe even more complicated or interesting designs available for a fee, or, you know, maybe they may use those teasers to actually pull people in, and so that, like, for a specific organization or something that wants some special customization, that organization would pay for it.
That's the sort of world that I hope develops, because, you know, like I said at the beginning, one of the problems I see is right now we don't have a lot of really great looking Silverlight 2 applications. You know, there are some good looking Silverlight 1 applications that designers have made, but as of yet, I think we're still hurting a bit in Silverlight 2. So I'm excited for that. Now, so if there's somebody out there who would like to get started in Silverlight, what would you sort of recommend? What are some sort of good steps for, here's how to get up to speed in Silverlight, but specific for designers?
Specific for designers. So the first thing I thought of when you began to ask that question is Scott Guthrie's blog. He actually has some, he does go into the code a lot. And so I'm kind of an interesting case in that the code really doesn't make me nervous. Maybe it will for other designers. But I think his blog, where he talks about, he actually has tutorials on creating a DIG application as well as an instant messaging application. The DIG application does get into a lot of the code, but it still does touch on a lot of the design aspects of creating a Silverlight application. The Instant Messenger application really does get into a lot of the details of designing the application using Blend, which I think would be really, really helpful. I think it's a good, like something like that is a really good thing to, it kind of gives you a good solid picture of, you know, the space that you have available to design within. It shows some of the cool features that you have available on Blend. I think that is a very good starting point. I also know that there are good tutorials on Silverlight.net. And I believe Celso Gomez has some great tutorials on both Silverlight and WPF. I actually use Celso's, one of his, when I was first learning, like the whole, you know, when I first moved into the WPF and Silverlight space back in June of 2007, I was using his tutorials to get me up to speed on, you know, creating applications or simple controls or simple elements in Silverlight and WPF. So he has some interesting information. I think, I will have an interesting, kind of tutorial or walkthrough of creating an application on my blog, like I said, mid-July. I think that'll be helpful as well. But I would definitely start out with Scott Guthrie's blog, take a look at silverlight.net, the tutorials they have there. They may be a little bit more code-focused, but I imagine in the future there will be more design-focused tutorials as well, and then Celso Gomez has some great stuff on his blog as well.
Great. Yeah, I appreciate that. It's also sort of in keeping with your mantra of, you know, getting in and actually getting your hands dirty with this stuff.
Yeah, that's the approach I take. So I kind of gravitate towards that and would recommend that approach.
Well, Karina, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This was great.
I like the tip about the base brush. that really make skins reusable. Thanks for listening. The music for today's show is used with permission and is from teamyacht.com and magnatune.com. For more information, see the show notes page.